This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Tuesday morning in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
59 degrees right now, getting up into the mid-70s. Looks like there could be some rain midday, depending on where you are.
Mm.
Cloudy, sun is gone forever. Say goodbye to the sun.
Yes.
Wave goodbye to the sun. I mean, it could be worse when it comes to, like, the drizzle.
Why is that?
Well, you could have what's going on with your brothers right now. By the way, we talked yesterday about how Tommy had not been able to contact his brothers. They are living down south.
Mm-hmm.
They
were in Florida and one in the Carolinas.
And
right now,
both of them in places where they got blasted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're both safe.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Why are you? You're such a bad person.
What?
Well, no, I know there are listeners that care more about your brother's safety after having that discussion yesterday, and I just wanted to catch them up.
Yeah, well, one lost their house and one can't get off the mountain.
He's stuck on a mountain.
Yeah, one's stuck on a mountain. The other one in their house is a loss.
Okay.
But they're fine. They're healthy. They're in their 70s, and they'll be fine.
Why does the 70s? What does that mean?
Well, when you get older, this stuff's a lot more stressful than when you're a kid.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But you make it sound like they became 70 from going through what they're going
through. I'm sure they look 70 now.
Well,
are you enjoying
the stress?
Yes, he is enjoying. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
He's enjoying.
Oh,
not enjoying.
Oh, house wiped out. Oh, think you're so rich now. Oh, rich boy. Oh, made good decisions in your life. No consequences like I had. Speaking of consequences, there's a story coming out of Webster this morning that raises a couple of questions because this is not our world. We are not gun owners.
No.
I don't feel comfortable owning a gun. You are not allowed to own a gun.
No. And but I have family that are gun owners.
And there's no gun in your house, Kimmy?
No.
The gunless break room.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, a 29-year-old man showed up at Rochester General Hospital earlier this week, Sunday, with a gunshot wound.
All right.
And it turns out he was not the victim of a crime. Nobody was angry with him. He shot himself by accident.
All right, cleaning the gun or something. It usually
doesn't say how.
Yeah, it says he was handling the gun in an apartment complex, Webster Manor apartment complex, shortly after 9:30 p.m. when the gun went off and it hit him somewhere on his body.
Oh, damn.
Ouch. So the good news.
Yeah.
Injuries are not life-threatening, so it sounds like he's going to be okay.
Okay.
The bad news, he shot himself.
Yeah.
Also in an apartment complex, which is a little bit more dangerous than your house.
Good point.
A little closer to other folks.
Yes, you can affect a couple more people in the
flimsy
process.
Walls.
Yeah. Think about hearing a gunshot on the other side of an apartment.
I can't imagine.
Okay, so, again, we are not gun owners, so we don't know how this works.
Mm.
If you accidentally shoot yourself as a gun owner, and the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263, is that the end of being a gun owner?
It should.
So you're saying you would be okay with the state of New York implementing a law if you accidentally shoot yourself, you can't have a gun anymore.
Yeah, I think you're all done with guns.
Even not knowing the circumstances.
Well, I mean, you mishandled it, and you did it to yourself.
Well, you're making,
so there's nobody else to blame but you.
You're making an assumption. How do we know it wasn't a failure of the gun itself, Tommy?
Or they didn't blame the manufacturer?
I don't know. I mean, look, again, I'm not a gun person. Like, I think it's a little inappropriate to make a wide-ranging comment that everyone who shoots themselves is at fault. I mean, it sounds...
It sounds pretty cut and dry to me.
But,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if this man, he's 29 years old, we don't know if he has somebody he lives with, if he has a spouse, whatever, right? Maybe you're not the one that gets to make that decision if you accidentally shoot yourself.
Oh, like the family gets to vote on it?
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, your wife won't let you have a gun.
Right.
And America thanks her for it. Right? But if you had a gun and you shot yourself.
Yeah.
And she wanted you to get rid of the gun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what argument you have to keep the gun.
I'm toast. It's over.
Like, can you even try to make an argument?
I mean, I give it a shot, but, you know, I'm not going to have my heart in it because I'm screaming right now.
Well, I don't think you're making the argument as you shot yourself. I'm assuming the argument comes after you get back from the hospital.
Yeah, maybe I wait a little bit. Right? No, I mean, you know, it's going to go that way. Like, as soon as you screw something up, like, in a marriage, your wife can't wait. And I speak for all wives. You all can't wait to confiscate all our fun.
Okay.
And they're just waiting for you to screw something up or for the kids to almost get hurt. And she's going to come down and go, that's enough of that. We're done with this.
All right, time out. What? Time out from that. First of all, I don't know how many people have guns because guns are fun.
Well, some people like to have, they're gun enthusiasts. They like to shoot. They like to hunt.
I understand.
It's a sportsman.
I understand. Right? There are also people that have a handgun because they feel like they need it to protect themselves, which, you know, fine.
And they kind of think that's fun.
Okay, again, you're making a lot of general assumptions
here. Way out there,
baby.
Way out there.
A lot of general assumptions here, right? I don't think women are... I also don't know what women in a household where there is a gun, how they feel about the gun. Because there are also women that feel comfortable, more comfortable having the gun around. So, like, no, you're making these generalized statements that I go, what about this? Yeah.
But my wife was raised around guns and doesn't want guns.
Okay. No, again, it's not about wanting or not wanting. You don't... You just...
I just think in general, most women don't want to see you with a gun.
Okay.
Unless there's somebody in the house.
Kimmy, is that a fair statement?
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the context here. I was on the phone. So you're talking about...
I had asked. I'm sorry. Okay. I had asked while you were on the phone. Again, talking about this 29-year-old man in Webster who accidentally shot himself, ended up at the hospital. He's going to be okay, non-life-threatening injuries, but we don't know if he has a spouse or not. If he's with somebody, do they have a say in whether or not the gun goes away?
Okay. Yeah, I would say so after this kind of mistake.
Especially if you've got kids in the house.
I think, like, you don't really get, it's not like a, I'm going to guess it's not like a three strike system in place.
Oh, is that California?
With this kind of thing. Like, I would think once accidental injury occurs, you're done with the gun.
Bones writes us on Instagram.
Especially, we don't know how they did it either, but.
Yeah, yes, I don't want to make any assumptions here.
Yeah.
Bones writes us on Instagram. My friend's dad down in Georgia tripped in his basement with his pistol on his hip. It went off, and now he has a rod in his leg. Nonetheless, he's still absolutely not going anywhere without that gun. So he's still got his gun.
Well, that's Georgia, buddy. It's a little different down there. Every grandpa's got a rod in his leg from an accidental discharge. The doctor put a rod in daddy's leg.
No, I mean, like, these are those stories where I, like, we make an effort here not to say the names of people who are accused of crimes because they're just accused. And you know how sometimes you hear someone's name on the radio, and even if it's just an accusation, you assume they're guilty. Right. You'll see their names in the paper or on TV when they've been accused. Mm. This story, however, does not have the name of the man that accidentally shot himself. And thank God.
Yeah.
But is he under arrest or anything?
No, so that's the other interesting part. It doesn't seem like it was an illegal gun because there's no charges being filed. It was just an accidental shooting.
Okay, so everything...
Yeah, so legal gun, as far as we know, right? Again, just an accident. He's going to be okay. Mm. But, like, if this man's name was in this story, if you have a buddy that shot himself by accident, are you allowed to bust his balls about it?
I would think so. You'd
have to ask him, like, how it occurred, right? Like, that would also maybe make a difference in what you say.
You would also have to believe their answer.
Yeah.
So, this happened to my brother.
He shot himself?
No.
Oh, sorry.
His best friend did with his gun. So, my brother had this new pistol, and it was kind of a unique pistol. It's kind of a new design. And they were out target shooting all these guys. He's part of this gun club out in South Florida.
Okay.
So they went out, and my brother told him, like, you got to be careful because of how this gun's designed. So he went to fire the gun, and he blew off the tip of his finger with this pistol.
Ooh.
And to this day, they still make fun of this guy. And they had to take him to the hospital and do all this stuff. And they were busting his balls in the car while
on the way
dressed.
To the hospital after he shot himself.
Yes. So does he have like a less of a finger to show for?
Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean? Like,
a,
is it like one of those things where he's missing segment of his finger?
Yeah, segment of his.
So you can't hide from that either.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah,
and you drove him to the hospital.
He bust his balls on the way to the hospital.
I know.
What do you want from your gun, guys?
By the way, you want to make fun of a guy who just did that? He's got a gun.
Well, he had a gun. He dropped it. It was my brother's gun, so he took it back. Well, look, Dick Cheney shot his best friend at a gun range, and the guy went on the TV and apologized to Dick Cheney for, hey, sorry I got in your way with your gun.
Don't get in the way of
it's
the gun.
It's a different culture, man.
No, and that's why I'm asking. Yeah. That's why, because again, I'm naive to this.
I mean, too.
I grew up with guns in my house, my dad being a police officer, right? Like, I mean, I get it. I just don't trust myself with
I don't either.
You know what I mean? Yeah. My ass, you don't. If somebody offered you a gun, I love how your wife, you've got now Stockholm syndrome. I don't want it.
It was a stupid idea.
I don't even care.
So I wonder if this guy would be in more trouble had that gun, like, gone through the wall or something, right? Like, depending on if it affected
injured
his neighbors
else.
In any way, or even like ruined their property. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder how much more trouble he'd be in had that affected somebody else's apartment.
Yeah, it's a good question. Because, I mean,
because you could have killed somebody.
Would that be manslaughter?
Well, if it killed somebody,
right.
I don't know. Is that death by negligence is manslaughter?
I guess.
But then again, if it was an accident. Like, again, now we're getting deep in the weeds here. We're not lawyers.
We
it is interesting, though, if there would be a charge, Kimmy, if the bullet like went through a wall.
Mm. Right.
But you're not going to get your deposit back. That's done.
But there's no charge because the bullet went in his leg. It is a little strange because the only difference was where
the
gun
placement.
Was pointed
you
know, at the moment. And it was an accident, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. We got a bunch of Facebook messages coming in. I'll save you reading all of them. Mm. All of them are saying the same, that if they accidentally shot themselves, I'm not getting rid of my gun.
Okay.
I don't know how.
I wouldn't like mess with your head a little bit.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, I would be afraid to handle it too much.
Just knowing the pain that you're in.
Yeah.
Like, I got a bicycle, right?
Mm.
And if I were to go ass over tea kettle on my bicycle, like break a leg, break my arm, I don't want to keep that bicycle anymore.
You're not jumping right back on it.
Exactly, right? Like, I know there's that old expression, you got to get back on the bike, but I'm literally not getting back on the bike. To your point, like, if I have to, like, see that thing every day, if I have that on my hip or wherever I'm keeping it, and I know the pain of what a bullet in my leg feels like
now.
Yeah,
I'm done.
I don't want to do
really,
that again.
I mean, I would also, I'm just talking for myself here.
Mm.
If I accidentally discharged that thing, not meaning to, I would also worry I could do it again somewhere outside of my apartment.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on there. A lot of moving bullets.
Yeah, one directly into a man's leg.
Mm-hmm.
We do have more Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. This comes in from Dan. Dan says, my neighbor accidentally shot through his hand with a shotgun. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Through or off his... Can you shoot through a hand with a shotgun?
Well, yeah. Gone. Now your hand is a party favor.
Yeah.
He goes on. He hunted with my dad. He kept his gun, and my dad would go hunting with him. They would make fun of each other for it, for things that would happen, but it didn't change if he owned a gun and when he used a gun. All right, let me ask a backup question there.
Because,
you know, he says here that his dad went out with him to go hunting afterwards.
Right.
You brought up Dick Cheney, kind of the same thing. You going hunting with a man that's accidentally shot himself?
No. You're not that good at shooting.
Well, you are. You hit hand.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know, if we're talking about contact, he's actually really good at shooting.
Well, you're really good at accidental shooting, not regular shooting. No, I'm not going with that guy.
Because you've been invited by people to go hunting before, right?
Right. I mean, I used to. So I had a shotgun when I was a kid.
Sure.
And I almost shot my brother with it by accident.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But like, okay, sorry, that took a turn. I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
And by the way,
Tommy Menendez,
he was showing me how to use a shotgun.
Okay,
so he
okay.
also sucks at showing people how to. Maybe you should
blaming
give,
the trainer.
Do you hear this?
Yeah.
Do you hear this? Like he saw our reaction to it, and he immediately goes, "Well, no,
well,
actually,
you should have put it in my
Hold
hands.
On.
Not my fault.
You weren't there. You don't know the whole story. So pump the brakes. You handed a 10-year-old a 20-gauge shotgun.
Is that a lot of gauge?
Well, it's a lighter gauge.
Okay.
But it's still too much gauge for a puny 10-year-old.
Okay.
And they took me out, and I almost shot him with the goddamn thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But that ain't my fault. I'm 10.
Oh, you could have just been, like, scary situation. You didn't have to immediately get defensive.
Well, I ain't taking no blame, man. Then I told you we shot shotguns when I was in summer camp.
Yeah.
And those were like 20 gauge, lighter gauge. But they still would like leave a bruise mark on your shoulder.
Oh, from the kickback there?
Yeah.
Recoil?
Recoil, yeah.
But like since you moved to Rochester.
Make a man out of you, though.
Since you moved to Rochester, have you had guys like ask you, hey, you want to go hunting with us this weekend?
Twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
the answer was no.
Anyhow, like I've had that too. It's never really been a thing I've been interested in, right? But like, let's say you've had an accident like this, like what Dan describes on Facebook, like what we have here in Webster, where a man shoots himself in the leg.
Yeah.
Do you have to tell the person you're taking out that you've made that mistake in the past to give them a more accurate?
You should. You should disclose all accidental firings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before you take this on, I mean, it's so goddamn dangerous.
And it would also depend too, probably, on how that person explained their accidental shooting of themselves. Because like if they're like, I was stupid, you know what I mean? Like if they take full accountability for it and say, now I'm more careful than ever, like maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable doing it than if somebody's just like, yeah, I don't know, it's the gun's fault.
But here's what sucks about this, right? Because Kimmy, you're right, right? Like you hear, you know, these are the mistakes, youngs, da, 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 da. We're never going to know how this plays out because every person that has accidentally shot themselves and nobody else knows, we'll ever talk about when they accidentally shot themselves because it has to be such an embarrassing moment.
Yeah, you're going to create a different story.
Kind of like you when you immediately got defensive after you told us you almost shot your brother.
I was dead.
You're my fault, man. Oh, bro, I know how you jackass with everything. Run in your mouth, not paying attention, blah, blah, blah.
But that's my whole family.
Like, I know you. I know it was your fault. I was not
there. Well, of course I'm 10.
I was
not there. You can't light up a 10-year-old.
Watch me light up a 10-year-old. Watch me.
No, like, only because it's me.
Bro, I will have a conversation.
Me 10.
I will have a conversation with you as a grown man. I will look you in the face. I will give you details to the story. Yeah. And literally 30 seconds later, you will ask me like I never told you the details to the story.
Well, I'm getting old and I can't hear.
No, it ain't you, man.
And I don't like you. It ain't you.
So, yeah, when you tell me that your brother handed you a shotgun and started talking, don't give me a shotgun. Why don't you just pay attention, stupid? You got a shotgun in your hand.
I have to tell you, I also almost shot him with an arrow.
Oh, my God. Is that his fault, too?
Yeah, because I was a kid.
Can't handle that much arrow?
Well, it was too much bow for me.
No such thing as too much bow, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So last week here in the break room, we shared with you a story about how a local politician planned on getting New York to ease restrictions on self-driving cars.
Yeah.
Jeremy Cooney.
Oh, cool Cooney.
Doesn't want New York to fall behind in the self-driving car game. And he said next year he plans on introducing legislation to move things forward. Because we found out in this story, Tommy, that in the state of New York, fully autonomous cars or self-driving cars are illegal.
Illegal.
Even though there are places in the U.S. where they're allowed.
Mm.
And over the weekend, we in Rochester got a close-up look at some of them. The Driving Electric Rochester event happens every year at RIT.
Mm.
And it attracts local electric car enthusiasts.
Okay.
One of the groups that was there is Waymo. Are you familiar with Waymo?
No, I am not.
It started as the, I believe, Google self-driving car project.
Mm.
It is now called Waymo. And they have launched in three American cities. San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Phoenix.
So this is a no driver car.
Yes, it's a company that, from what I gather, and if I'm wrong, tell me, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. It's like Uber with no driver.
Okay.
They say, since they've started, they've successfully completed 2 million rides and are currently providing 100,000 trips per week across these three cities.
God damn.
I know. It's a lot of rides.
Yeah.
And when we talked about this last week, we talked to a woman who said she was in Phoenix, if I remember correctly, who took one of these things and she left her purse in the back of the car, so they had to go like find the whole thing. Anyway. Folks got to see firsthand what these cars can do.
How cool.
And hear from people in the company about the both benefits and potential drawbacks of the car. Because as much as folks were raving about these, even folks who work at the company said there are safety concerns with the technologies. They say with Waymo, there have not been any fatalities reported.
Well, there you go.
And they say
done and done.
That they have in-depth technology to make sure these things don't happen.
It's a guarantee.
It's not. There's no
such thing. It's 100% guarantee.
Nothing.
Why do you do this?
It's a guarantee.
Why do you do this?
Seriously.
I'm now afraid to look at the news the next week.
Oh, you'll be fine.
Well, I'll be fine.
Well, unless that self-driving car is on the street that you're walking. Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy, when we talked about the self-driving cars last week, you want these things really bad.
Yeah, I want one.
Yeah, I get it.
You want one for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. If someone offered you a ride right now in a self-driving car,
let's go.
You would take it.
Yeah.
Not even hesitant.
Right.
Not even a second.
What are you worried about? You drive your own car, you could die.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I mean, I have
control. It's full of gas and idiots.
I have control.
Think about that. It's amateur hour out there.
My car is full of gas and idiots?
Yes.
So not just me, but my child is also an idiot? Or my wife is an idiot?
No, the idiot behind the wheel and the
gas. You just said your car is full of gas and idiots. Hold on one sec. Hey, honey.
But everybody
is full of idiots.
No, they're one of the good ones. Everybody has some level of idiot inside them.
Oh, yeah?
Can we agree on that? Because we're all flawed God's children.
No, agreed.
We make mistakes. We're all full of sin.
It's why there are car accidents.
Yes.
But I just find it strange. And you're not alone. There's other people that feel this way. That I know you don't understand the technology.
I don't.
I don't understand the technology.
Right. Yeah.
Kimmy, do you understand the technology?
Nope.
Okay. So you're putting a lot of faith in this thing that you can't wrap your head around.
You want to survive in this world? You want to survive? Don't make a face.
I'm making faces.
Boy, you best listen.
You call me boy again.
Well, boy, you follow the smart people. You don't follow the idiots. You follow the smart people. And I will sit in some other guy's smart and enjoy myself.
How do you know who's smart?
Yeah.
The ones that are moving forward.
Really?
Like cars that don't have drivers and like computer guys.
Yeah, but we're
and
finding
like
out like
space
sometimes those
guy.
People make mistakes too. You could be smart and you know, there's trial and error involved,
see?
Right?
See?
If there's one thing we've learned over the last...
Going the wrong direction, son.
If there's one thing we've learned in the last decade... Mm. It's that people who we assume are brilliant aren't brilliant with everything.
No, but what they're good at,
maybe,
that's who you follow.
Maybe. No, man, you can't put your faith in someone you've never met before.
You do it all day long.
Give
you drive over bridges. You turn on light switches. You drink the water. You just assume there's a smart guy that makes sure there ain't no poopies in your water when you drink
here's
it.
Here's the difference.
I find out sometimes that happens, too.
Yeah, poopies and other things. Here's the difference.
When's the last time you drank duty water?
How would I know?
You'd be dead.
I prefer my water duty.
Death by duty.
Look, the difference in these self-driving cars versus what you're speaking of, you're right, I drive over bridges every day. Bridges that have technology that have existed for hundreds of years. So there's trial and error and proof that it works.
But the smart guys had to do that.
100 years ago, 200 years ago, I turn on a water for a faucet, right? But that technology has existed forever, and we've worked kinks out of things to make sure it works.
Well, cars have been around since the... 100 years?
And that's the point I'm making. The car that I drive today, the car that you drive today, although there's new technology
in them, it's
evolving. It's evolving. It's not brand new. So I have the ability to have faith. I have an overall idea of how a car works.
You know what your problem is?
What, please?
You're a control freak. You got to control everything.
Yes, I am a control freak.
And you're too much of a sissy boy to let the computer do the driving. You think you're smarter than that computer. You think you're a better driver than that computer.
I do.
Think of all the brains that went into that computer. You're working with one measly-ass brain.
Okay, again, I'm not saying that the self-driving cars are a bad idea. I'm saying I don't want to be the first one in Rochester in the back.
And you're not going to be the first. People have already been in these things. If they already has like thousands and thousands of rides, you ain't the first.
Well, and I would also think like if those cars can navigate cities like San Francisco and places with a
crap load
of traffic and pedestrians mm-hmm. and all those other like
and the politics and the rules and the regulations.
I would think like maybe I feel a little bit more comfortable doing it here. You know what I mean?
My fear would be, do the cars have to get used to a new city? And I'm serious when I ask that question. Like, is it like getting a dog and bringing it around your house?
Right.
It's going to pee in the corner.
Sure.
252-WCMF. After our discussion last week about a local politician, Jeremy Cooney, trying to ease restrictions on self-driving cars, because right now in New York, they are illegal. RIT had an electric car event over the weekend where Waymo, one of the companies that has these self-driving Uber cars, was there. And they talked about the technology, and Tommy's all in on this thing. And I get it. I know that we're not that far away from this being a standard
thing. Embrace the future.
I just don't understand why you're giving me crap about wanting to see how it works before I put my ass in one.
Because you're a warrior.
Yes.
Yes.
Warriors
yes.
live. That it's an evolutionary trait of mankind. You should worry. It protects you. Mac is on CMF. Hey, Mac. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I think the electric car is a cool concept, but man, it really hurts. It hurts the driving industry, you know what I mean?
So,
what does that do to our Uber drivers and stuff like that?
All right, so let me be clear. The legislation that is being proposed coming up this year, according to Cooney, who wants to introduce it, he said it would only be for cars that people own. It would not be commercial stuff. So as of now in New York, truck drivers and Uber drivers would be protected. But Mac, you're right. Eventually, it's going to get to a point where we're taking jobs away from actual people, and then it becomes an ethical
argument. But then those people find other jobs and other industries to grow in.
And a quick follow-up is, with our harsh winters, how are these cars going to hold up? Are they going to be able to navigate ice?
Global warming, baby. We're heating up nice. This whole area is going to be like Florida in a couple years.
No, I mean, he brings up a valid point. If the three things that these cities have in common that they're operating in, San Fran, Phoenix, and L.A., no ice.
All right.
And one more thing, and then I'll get out of your air, is what about crime, like the Kia boys? Are these cars going to be hacked and taken for joyrides, or how do they circumnavigate that, you know?
Well, Mac, I would assume that, I mean, the issues we're dealing with Kias here, they're also dealing with in San Francisco, L.A., and Phoenix. So if there haven't been reports of these self-driving cars being stolen, I would assume that's not really anything to major worry about?
Yeah, but I mean, is the crime like we have, like the crime they have?
L.A. and San Francisco?
It's probably not that much
fun stealing a self-driving car.
I mean, it drives you right
I feel
to
like
the
it's
police
kind of a
station.
Yeah. Niche market here, you know what I mean?
No, again, like, look, I hear what you're saying, Mac. I do believe that Tommy's right, that in a matter of 10, 15 years, we're going to forget we even had this argument because it'll be standard. But I don't want to be the first one with my ass in it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I look forward to seeing how it goes.
All right, Mac, I'll be there with you, buddy.
Way to back us up.
No, he's right. Like,
I think that old man is like, you see, hitting the cane on the Model T because he just wants horses in the street.
Out of my way. Oh, my God. Like,
you're like an old man with a derby.
I love how the nuanced take of, can I see it first? Like, would you marry a woman you've never laid your eyes on?
Not again.
So I think I saw, to his point about somebody trying to, like, break into these, I think the car just shuts down. So, like, that's, like,
again,
what
like
it's made to
marriage.
Do when somebody tries to get in the driver's seat or something. I vaguely remember seeing something, like, they thought of that already.
It has ass-cheek recognition. If it doesn't recognize your ass, you ain't going anywhere.
I am curious. I want these in Rochester only to see how popular they'd be out of the gate. If there would be other people that were hesitant to try it before their friends tried it. Right? Because, again, you also wouldn't go to a brand new expensive restaurant unless somebody told you it was good. Right?
Yeah, I mean, people are slow to embrace change. Okay. You're absolutely right.
No, but it's what, like, you won't go have a meal without somebody telling you this place is amazing.
Wow.
But you'll go, don't you dare. But you'll get in the back of this technology new car that you don't understand.
Yeah, because it's so, first of all, I hate driving.
I know.
I can't stand it. I'm waiting for, because you know what's coming next. Airplanes.
Yeah, I don't want a self-flying airplane.
Buses. Okay. All of it's going to be technology driven.
I will never get in a self-flying airplane. Mark my words.
People wouldn't get in an airplane because they were scared.
Yeah,
because they thought it was going to fall on the ground. Planes never crash.
252 WCMF. Again, Waymo, the self-driving electric car company, was in town at RIT for an electric car convention. They do it every year. Right. And what's interesting about this year, it was just last week that we found out that Jeremy Cooney, local politician, is trying to ease restrictions in the state of New York on self-driving cars. Again, as of now, fully autonomous vehicles are illegal here. Joe's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Joe. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Hey, Duff. You know, the ultimate New York test would be letting this thing get me home in an hour and a half from a Bills game while I'm surrounded by drunken Canadians trying to navigate the same parking lot.
Look, I mean, there are circumstances in my life where that self-driving car would be,
that would be pretty cool.
100% to not have to drive home.
Get me home in an hour and a half from Rich Stadium with a bunch of Canadians that just drank two cases of Bordeaux and using that same streets, I'm in.
He's not wrong.
Mm.
Definitely. And you know how nice this would be for the postal system? We have a very stressful job. I can catch a little glow and deliver your mail. Nice.
There you go. America's so postman just want to get drunk.
Finally, a federal perk I can deal with.
Joe, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. There goes Joe. Look, we'll see. Mm. And I agree with you. It's going to be soon where this is just standard stuff.
But
and
your kids will own one.
Possibly.
Okay, all right.
One of your two daughters will own a self-driving car.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm not getting in it. You drive your dad
Come
like
on,
I used to drive.
Dad.
Her. No, I'll be
Grandpa's
pissed.
Grandpa's being difficult again.
I will be pissed because, like, especially right now, like, I have to drive my kids effing everywhere. Right. I told you, like, today, I have to drive out to Minderst.
You've never heard of it.
Yeah,
Minderst.
When you said that town, I was like, I've never never heard of such a place.
It's an hour away. My daughter has a tennis match today in Minderst. I got to drive an hour there and an hour back. And if I did all this driving for my oldest for hockey and my youngest for ballroom dance and tennis, and you don't have to drive me anywhere when I get old, that's just not fair. So you will buy a regular car.
And you suffer like you do.
Yes, you will. Yes. Right. Yes.
I think about having to teach your daughters how to drive. One day that'll be obsolete.
Not for me, though.
No. But at some point, like that dreaded fear, which I know is coming, where you have to teach them to drive and go off in the cars. Mm-hmm. Self-driving car eliminates all that stress.
Okay.
Think about that.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Look, you're going to be dead.
I like my stress.
You're going to be dead before these things are standard anyway, so I don't even know why you're getting excited.
I know, but I just want to live to see it happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah. The ultimate irony would be if you die getting run over by a self-driving car.
No, that's your fantasy.
Also that. My ironic fantasy. Only dead men know what lies at the bottom of the sea. Well, dead men and folks with 3D radar technology. Mm. Because there is one person who, it seems, wants to find out all about what is at the bottom of this lake. And they want to let us know everything. Mm. And that has the potential to be really cool. Also potentially really scary.
A little creepy.
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. A few weeks ago, Tommy, we told you about how the Livingston County Sheriff's Department found a 1960s hearse ambulance at the bottom of Canisius Lake during a training exercise with their sonar equipment.
Okay.
Since then, the story in the Batavia News says there are a bunch of different reasons people have as to how the ambulance ended up there. Like, there's a link to all of these stories of people like, you got down there because the ambulance went out of control and fell through the air. You got down there because we used to do the Ambulance Duncan's Festival every year around July. But one person from the Canisius Lake area decided it was up to them to document what is down there.
So they're going down, like, with scuba tanks?
Erica Marie Schultz is a master diver.
Erica Marie?
Erica Marie Schultz.
Okay.
She's a master diver. Why did you pause?
I the name threw me out there for a minute.
Why? You don't know a lot of Erica Marie's? Or?
No, I know a few Erica Marie's. Okay. They're quality gals.
Yeah, so why did you pause when I said that she's a master diver?
I think it's the she master diver.
Why?
You don't think ladies scuba dive too?
They do, but I would think it's more of a guy thing than a chick thing.
Yeah.
Most divers I know were always men.
Yeah, I mean, the guys.
How many divers do you know?
I grew up in South Florida.
Oh, true. Yeah,
okay, but no, fair. But see, he can
but
say
that. But were those actual divers?
I'm a diver. I'm a certified diver.
Are you?
Hey, don't get me started, boy. I was in the bottom of that pool. I was 11 years old. I was at YMCA.
Stay away camp. You can't even say YMCA.
I was a stay away camp. That's because I had a regulator in my mouth.
What, you got the bends right now? YMCA.
Yeah, I was with your mom.
You got to scuba dive at summer camp?
You got to come up slowly.
You were saying, Kimmy?
You got to scuba dive at summer camp?
I told you the story.
Yeah, he's a rich kid.
Well,
you get
I know.
To do everything.
I knew you did all the other rich kid stuff. I didn't know you added scuba diver.
So they
to
put
that
us
too.
In a pool and they taught us how to scuba dive. So we had the tanks, the whole thing, and we went so in the deep spoiled. End of the pool and swam around.
At Rich Kid Camp, you get the scuba diving, the horse riding, and then the famous beat the hobo with a sock full of batteries.
Yeah.
Look, so Erica Marie Schultz, master diver, she wants to go down and see the situation. Unfortunately, last week when they planned to go, stormy weather and murky water made doing it impossible.
All right.
And it sounds like she and her crew, they're going to take a run at it again, she said, after the ice melts, because that's when the water will be the most clear.
So how many feet down is it, did they say?
It's at the bottom.
No, but how many feet?
I don't know.
That's important to know.
What do you want me to do, man?
I mean, if it's 60 feet or if it's like 200 feet, that's a big difference.
I'm not the master diver, man. I don't know how deep it is.
Right.
I love how, like, you know, you're trying to sound like you're in the biz, you douchebag.
No big deal.
It's like when we meet people out, like, I got a podcast. Shut up. You're the podcaster of scuba divers. So her idea.
So what's Erica Marie going to wait till spring?
Yeah. And her idea is she wants to take pictures of this ambulance and other stuff that's at the bottom of Canisius Lake to document what's down there and try and figure out how it
Pretty
got there.
Pretty cool.
And who the hell knows, Tommy? Mm. With all the years of folks living on Canisius Lake shores, what could be down there? It's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be super scary.
Mm. Well, you think there's like.
Some. Well, if they skeleton. Didn't. They didn't know there was an ambulance down there for.
Is there anybody
many
in
years.
That ambulance what else, still waiting on service?
What else could be down there that nobody knew about?
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. To Kimmy's point, do you want to know what lurks at the bottom of the waters around the greater Rochester area? Because there are lots of things, not just skeletons.
Skeleton.
There are lots of things that could be down there connected to not so great stuff. You've got decades of high-profile crime in this town that the bottom of the lake...
So you think there's a guy in a barrel?
There could be.
Or
amongst other
cement
things.
Shoes.
That's possible. Is that out of the question? They were blowing up cars, for God's sakes.
Mm.
You've got decades of big industry in the greater Rochester area who, let's be real, didn't really have a great environmental record.
Right.
Who knows what's at the bottom there? And then there are just the crazy things
history.
Like an ambulance with no background. And you bring up the history, too.
There could be more history down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, history is.
Well, we had
always...
wars around here and everything else.
That's what I mean.
Sure.
But like something like
exciting.
Something like a hearse ambulance, right? We just assume somebody chucked it at the bottom of the lake. Yeah.
There's got to be more vehicles down there. There has
to
be.
Well, we found out when we talked about it last that they would like there were people that would like take vehicles across the lake when it would freeze over. So if one fell through. I'm guessing there have been multiple vehicles and things that have been lost along the way.
Old boats. I mean, like super old boats from 200 years ago.
Not a lot to do out there in Canisius. It's before Minahan's was open when they decided to drive those cars across the lake. But like at minimum, if you start exploring the bottom of the local lakes in the greater Rochester area, you could find a few grandparents that we haven't seen in decades and went for a walk on the pier and never came home.
Oh, true.
I guess what I'm getting at is maybe it's best to leave that stuff at the bottom of the lake, undiscovered.
What are the rules with that, though? Because I know certain things you're supposed to leave where they sunk, right? Like, haven't we talked about this? Like, certain valuables and things like that are supposed to kind of stay there.
But that's like international water, like ocean stuff. This is sitting in New York State,
right? But I don't know how that works, though.
But who owns it?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you found something. To your point, let's say you found old ancient money down there for some reason. You found gold down there.
Okay. There's gold in that lake.
So if I pull that gold up, do I have to turn it over to the state because it's part of New York State?
Who?
They own the lake, so I got to give it back to them and then wait to say who claims it. I get it?
Does New York State own the lake?
Well, it's part of their, I mean, it's under U.S. government, runs it.
I love how, like, you'll make a statement.
Well, who else would own a lake?
No.
But the U.S. government.
Oh, look, you could be right.
No,
I'll ask a question, and you'll make a statement that is wrong, and then when I ask just a simple, like, oh, are you sure, you'll double down so hard, and you're not even trying to be funny. Yeah, U.S., the state, U.S. government, those are two different things.
Well, who do you think owns Canandaigua, the actual lake?
I don't know the answer to that. It could be the
United
town.
States government under the jurisdiction of New York State Division of Lakes.
It could be the town of Canandaigua. Canisius could be owned by Livingston County.
No, but there's many towns on that lake. How could one town own a lake?
That's what I'm at. I don't.
I think Naples would have a say in that.
Who owns Lake Ontario?
So part of it's under U.S., part of it's under Canadian.
No, I understand under who owns it, the lake. Who owns the lake? What, we just cut
we
the
split
lake
it.
Off?
Well, we split well, there's
the
a line.
Yeah, no, I understand there's a line in the lake.
What, see that line?
But see, water keeps going back and forth over the line when like the wind
we share
it.
The water, yeah. But Eastside owns the bottom of the lake.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Coming off the story we heard about in July of a 1960s hearse ambulance discovered by the Livingston County Sheriff's Department during routine training at the bottom of Canisius Lake, a woman, Erica Marie Schultz, she's a master scuba diver, wants to go down and document this ambulance and other stuff at the bottom of the lake, which sounds cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's going to have to wait till spring because weather and sediment has made the
runoff.
You got
it, yeah,
it right?
Sure.
But, I mean, do you really want to know everything that's at the bottom
I
of these
lakes? I think it's interesting, don't you? I mean, there's a bunch of American history down here.
252-WCMF. Eric's on CMF. Hey, Eric, how are you, buddy?
What's up?
What up?
Rumor has at the bottom of Hemlock Lake's a train.
Wait, there's a train at the bottom of Hemlock Lake.
And it's late.
Yeah, and the lake's over 100 feet deep.
How would the
train... Yeah, how did a train get in the lake?
There used to be a train track and went over the lake.
And it crashed?
I guess.
Okay. I don't know, I'm guessing.
You can't call up with there's a train at the bottom of the lake and be like, how'd it get there? Well, you go, oh.
Yeah, it was way before my time, back in the 1800s.
But one of them old-timey locomotives. There's still
but
a guy in there.
Walk along Hemlock Lake. There's a part of a train trestle going over the lake.
Okay. And there's like a skeleton shoveling coal still.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah. Eric, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Here's what I don't care. Right? Because that's a great story. And it'd be cool if there's like an 1800s locomotive.
Well, it might be a steamboat down there.
But like when somebody from that area, because I'm assuming he's from that area, mm-hmm. told him that story when he was a boy, just a litty bitty boy. You didn't have follow-up questions? Like, how did the train get to the bottom of the lake? Mm-hmm. Did the bridge that carried the train collapse?
Right.
Did they do anything about it? Did they just stop using the train tracks?
Were there people in the train?
Exactly. Yes. No questions?
Mm. No follow-up questions?
Nothing at all?
They say at night, if you put your ear to that lake, you can still hear the whistle blow at midnight.
Does anyone else know about the train at the bottom of Hemlock Lake?
I have not
lake?
Heard that before.
We got a whole bunch of stuff coming in. Chris is on CMF. Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, talking about the lakes, Seneca Lake and Canandaigua Lake towards the southern ends are like mountain ranges underneath, from what I understand. There are a lot of peaks and valleys. I'd like to see what Seneca Lake looks like, especially out by that naval training or naval testing barge off of Dresden there. That's over 500 feet deep out there.
Okay, how long has that naval testing area been there?
Since
ever since I can remember as a little kid, and I'm 60 years old.
They had trained during World War II around.
Okay, so that's
place.
What I mean. Like, Chris, I don't know if you've got Naval World War training area. I don't know if I want to know what's 500 feet deep in that lake, Chris.
Well, with the Seneca Army Depot, the old depot across the street, I'd like to know what might be out there.
Just, I hear they got MacArthur's brain in a jar at the bottom of that lake.
So have a good day. Out of
it. Team buddy, there goes Chris. No, I don't want to know. If it hasn't gone off, I don't want to know.
No, it's cool.
Isn't the Seneca Army Depot, wasn't that the one we talked about a couple weeks
yes.
ago that once carried nuclears?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I don't believe it.
But it also has the white-tailed deer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they saw that bomb and they were like, and they all turned white and that's how it's been. No, I would have to imagine, by the way, to answer your question you asked a second ago, how deep is...
the ambulance? That she's going to go down looking.
What are the worst BG songs of all time? How deep is your ambulance? How deep is your ambulance? How deep is your ambulance? Steven writes us, the maximum depth the deepest Canisius Lake is 66 feet.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Which is slightly less deep than your mom. But
that's an easy dive.
Again, the average depth at Canisius, only 38 feet.
Right. So shallow.
Yeah.
She is shallow lake.
She's shallow. I mean, Lake Ontario would probably be the most interesting study.
Yeah, because you got the wars mm-hmm. and everything that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just so much more of it to explore.
Yeah. But then again, like with Lake Ontario too, Kimmy, you have all of the industry that Rochester mm-hmm. has.
All the pollution.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, with the most interesting stuff could also come the scariest stuff.
Mm.
So maybe, and let's be real, man. Like, not only with the stuff that may have happened in the past mm-hmm. or, like, questions that we don't want answers to, we as a society are not great at confronting uncomfortable things that happened before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, forget the fact that you could be creeped out. Like, you could uncover stuff that, like, sets off, like, a social argument.
Oh, okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just leave it alone.
So it works on many levels.
Don't leave it alone. Hey. Just leave it.
But we're curious people.
Yeah.
We're explorers.
Yeah.
We're nosy.
Okay. What's stopping you from going down there? You're a certified diver, from what I heard.
Too old. lungs can't take it no more.
Oh, the woman I told you about, Erica Marie, she's 60.
Is she really?
Yeah.
She may want to think that.
It's 38 feet deep average.
Bro, 60?
That's younger than you.
I know, but not by much. I would want to be 60 doing that still.
Did you say that about radio, too?
Only dead men know what lies at the bottom of the sea.
Well, dead men and folks with 3D radar technology. Mm. Because there is one person who, it seems, wants to find out all about what is at the bottom of this lake. And they want to let us know everything. Mm. And that has the potential to be really cool. Also, potentially really scary.
A little creepy.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. A few weeks ago, Tommy, we told you about how the Livingston County Sheriff's Department found a 1960s hearse ambulance at the bottom of Canisius Lake during a training exercise with their sonar equipment.
Okay.
Since then, the story in the Batavia News says there are a bunch of different reasons people have as to how the ambulance ended up there. Like, there's a link to all of these stories of people like, you got down there because the ambulance went out of control and fell through the air. You got down there because we used to do the Ambulance Duncan's Festival every year around July. But one person from the Canisius Lake area decided it was up to them to document what is down there.
So they're going down, like, with scuba tanks?
Erica Marie Schultz is a master diver.
Erica Marie?
Erica Marie Schultz.
Okay.
She's a master diver. Why did you pause?
I the name threw me out there for a minute.
Why? You don't know a lot of Erica Marie's? Or?
No, I know a few Erica Marie's. Okay. They're quality gals.
Yeah, so why did you pause when I said that she's a master diver?
I think it's the she master diver.
Why?
You don't think ladies scuba dive too?
They do, but I would think it's more of a guy thing than a chick thing.
Yeah.
Most divers I know were always men.
Yeah, I mean, the guys.
How many divers do you know?
I grew up in South Florida.
Oh, true.
Okay, right, but no, fair. But see, he can
but were
say
those
that
actual divers?
I'm a diver. I'm a certified diver.
Are you?
Hey, I went, hey, don't get me started, boy. I was in the bottom of that pool. I was 11 years old. I was at YMCA.
Stay-away camp. You can't even say YMCA.
I was at stay-away camp. That's because I had a regulator in my mouth.
You got the bends right now at YMCA.
Yeah, I was with your mom.
You got to scuba dive at summer camp?
You got to come up slowly.
You were saying, Kimmy?
You got to scuba dive at summer camp?
I told you the story.
Yeah, he's a rich kid.
Well,
you
I know.
To do everything.
I knew you did all like all the so other rich kid stuff. I didn't know you had scuba diver.
So they
to
put
that
us
too.
In a pool and they taught us how to scuba dive. So we had the tanks, the whole thing, and we went so in the deep spoiled. End of the pool and swam around.
At rich kid camp, you get the scuba diving, the horse riding, and then the famous beat the hobo with a sock full of batteries.
Yeah.
Look, so Erica Marie Schultz, master diver, she wants to go down and see the situation. Unfortunately, last week when they planned to go, stormy weather and murky water made doing it impossible.
All right.
And it sounds like she and her crew, they're going to take a run at it again, she said, after the ice melts, because that's when the water will be the most clear.
So how many feet down is it, did they say?
It's at the bottom.
No, but how many feet?
I don't know.
That's important to know.
What do you want me to do, man?
I mean, if it's 60 feet or if it's like 200 feet, that's a big difference.
I'm not the master diver, man. I don't know how deep it is.
Right.
I love how, like, you know, you're trying to sound like you're in the biz, you douchebag.
No big deal.
Like,
no
it's
big
like deal. It's like when we meet people out, like, I got a podcast. Shut up. You're the podcaster of scuba divers. So her idea.
So what's Erica Marie going to wait till spring?
Yeah, and her idea is she wants to take pictures of this ambulance and other stuff that's at the bottom of Canisius Lake to document what's down there and try and figure out how it
pretty
got there.
Pretty cool.
And who the hell knows, Tommy? Mm. With all the years of folks living on Canisius Lake shores, what could be down there? It's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be super scary.
Mm. Well, you think there's like
some? Well, if they skeleton. Didn't, they didn't know there was an ambulance down there for.
Is there anybody in
years.
That ambulance still waiting on service?
What else could be down there that nobody knew about?
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. To Kimmy's point, do you want to know what lurks at the bottom of the waters around the greater Rochester area? Because there are lots of things, not just skeletons.
Skeleton.
There are lots of things that could be down there connected to not-so-great stuff. You've got decades of high-profile crime in this town. That the bottom of the lake.
So you think there's a guy in a barrel?
There could be.
Or
amongst
cement
other
shoes.
That's possible. Is that out of the question? They were blowing up cars, for God's sakes.
Mm.
You've got decades of big industry in the greater Rochester area who, let's be real, didn't really have a great environmental record.
Right.
Who knows what's at the bottom there? And then there are just the crazy things
history.
Like an ambulance with no background. And you bring up the history, too.
There could be more history down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, history isn't
always.
Well,
we had wars around here and everything else.
That's what I mean.
Sure.
But like something like
exciting,
something like a hearse ambulance, right? We just assume somebody chucked it at the bottom of the lake. Yeah.
There's got to be more vehicles down there.
We found out when we talked about it last that they would like there were people that would like take vehicles across the lake when it would freeze over. So if one fell through, I'm guessing there have been multiple vehicles and things that have been lost along the way.
Old boats. I mean, like super old boats from 200 years ago.
Not allowed to do out there in Canisius. It's before Minahan's was open when they decided to drive those cars across the lake. But like at minimum, if you start exploring the bottom of the local lakes in the greater Rochester area, you could find a few grandparents that we haven't seen in decades and went for a walk on the pier and never came home.
No, true.
I guess what I'm getting at is maybe it's best to leave that stuff at the bottom of the lake, undiscovered.
What are the rules with that, though? Because I know certain things you're supposed to leave where they sunk, right? Like, haven't we talked about this? Like, certain valuables and things like that are supposed to kind of stay there.
But that's like international water, like ocean stuff. This is sitting in New York State,
right? But I don't know how that works, though.
Who owns it?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you found something. To your point, let's say you found old ancient money down there for some reason. You found gold down there.
Okay. There's gold in that lake.
So if I pull that gold up, do I have to turn it over to the state because it's part of New York State?
Who?
They own the lake, so I got to give it back to them and then wait to say who claims it. I get it?
Does New York State own the lake?
Well, it's part of their, I mean, it's under U.S. government, runs it.
I love how, like, you'll make a statement.
Well, who else would own a lake?
No.
But the U.S. government.
Oh, look, you could be right. I'll ask a question, and you'll make a statement that is wrong. And then when I ask just a simple, like, oh, are you sure? You'll double down so hard, and you're not even trying to be funny. Yeah, the state, U.S. government, those are two different things.
Well, who do you think owns Canandaigua, the actual lake?
I don't know the answer to that. It could be the
United States government under the jurisdiction of New York State, Division of Lakes.
It could be the town of Canandaigua. Canisius could be owned by Livingston County.
No, but there's many towns on that lake. How could one town own a lake?
That's what I'm at.
I think Naples would have a say in that.
Who owns Lake Ontario?
So part of it's under U.S., part of it's under
Canadian. No, I understand under who owns it? The lake. Who owns the lake? What, we just cut
the
lake
off?
Well,
there's a line.
Yeah, no, I understand there's a line in the lake.
See that line?
But see, water keeps going back and forth over the line when like the wind
blows. We share the water, but he said owns the bottom of the lake.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Coming off the story we heard about in July of a 1960s hearse ambulance discovered by the Livingston County Sheriff's Department during routine training at the bottom of Canisius Lake, a woman, Erica Marie Schultz, she's a master scuba diver, wants to go down and document this ambulance and other stuff at the bottom of the lake, which sounds cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's going to have to wait till spring because weather and sediment has made
the runoff.
You got it, right? Sure. But, I mean, do you really want to know everything that's at the bottom of these lakes?
I think it's interesting, don't you? I mean, there's a bunch of American history down here.
252-WCMF. Eric's on CMF. Hey, Eric, how are you, buddy?
What's up?
What up?
Rumor has at the bottom of Hemlock Lake's a train.
Wait, there's a train at the bottom of Hemlock Lake.
And it's late.
Yeah, and the lake's over 100 feet deep.
How would the
train... How did a train get in the lake?
There used to be a train track and went over the lake.
And it crashed?
I guess.
Okay.
You can't call up with there's a train at the bottom of the lake and be like, how'd it get there? Well, you go,
Yeah, it was way before my time, back in the 1800s.
But when them old-timey locomotives. There's still a guy in there.
Walk along Hemlock Lake, there's a part of a train trestle going over the lake.
Okay. And there's like a skeleton shoveling coal still.
Yeah. He goes, yeah. Eric, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Here's what I don't get. Right? Because that's a great story. And it'd be cool if there's like an 1800s locomotive.
Well, it might be a steamboat down there.
But like when somebody from that area, because I'm assuming he's from that area, told him that story when he was a boy, just a litty bitty boy. You didn't have follow-up questions? Like, how did the train get to the bottom of the lake? Mm-hmm. Did the bridge that carried the train collapse?
Right.
Did they do anything about it? Did they just stop using the train tracks?
Were there people in the train?
Exactly. Yes. No questions?
Mm. No follow-up questions?
Nothing at all?
They say at night, if you put your ear to that lake, you can still hear the whistle blow at midnight.
Does anyone else know about the train at the bottom of Hemlock Lake?
I have not
lake?
Heard that before.
We got a whole bunch of stuff coming in. Chris is on CMF. Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, talking about the lakes, Seneca Lake and Canandaigua Lake, towards the southern ends, are like mountain ranges underneath, from what I understand. A lot of peaks and valleys. I'd like to see what Seneca Lake looks like, especially out by that naval testing barge off of Dresden there. That's a
over 500 feet deep out there.
Okay, how long has that naval testing area been there?
Since
war. Oh, ever since I can remember as a little kid, and I'm 60 years old.
They trained during World War II around.
Okay, so that's what I mean. Like, Chris, I don't know if you've got Naval World War training area. I don't know if I want to know what's 500 feet deep in that lake, Chris.
Well, with a Seneca Army Depot, Yule Depot across the street, I'd like to know what might be out there.
Just, I hear they got MacArthur's brain in a jar at the bottom of that lake.
So you have a good day. Out of it. Team buddy, there goes Chris. No, I don't want to know. If it hasn't gone off, I don't want to know.
No, it's cool.
Isn't the Seneca Army Depot, wasn't that the one we talked about a couple weeks ago that once carried nuclears?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I don't believe it.
But it also has the white-tailed deer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they saw that bomb and they were like, and they all turned white and that's how it's been. No, I would have to imagine, by the way, to answer your question you asked a second ago, how deep is...
the ambulance? That she's going to go down looking.
What are the worst BG songs of all time? How deep is your ambulance? How deep is your ambulance? How deep is your ambulance? Steven writes us, the maximum depth, the deepest Canisius Lake is 66 feet.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Which is slightly less deep than your mom. But
that's an easy dive.
Again, the average depth at Canisius, only 38 feet.
Right. So she's shallow.
Yeah.
She is shallow lake.
She is shallow.
She's shallow.
I mean, Lake Ontario would probably be the most interesting study.
Yeah, because you got the wars and everything that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just so much more of it to explore.
Yeah. But then again, like with Lake Ontario too, Kimmy, you have all of the industry that Rochester has.
All the pollution.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
With the most interesting stuff could also come the scariest stuff.
Mm.
So maybe, and let's be real, man. Like, not only with the stuff that may have happened in the past or, like, questions that we don't want answers to, we as a society are not great at confronting uncomfortable things that happened before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, forget the fact that you could be creeped out. Like, you could uncover stuff that, like, sets off, like, a social argument.
Oh, okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just leave it alone.
So it works on many levels.
Don't leave it alone.
Hey. Just leave it. But we're curious people.
Yeah.
We're explorers.
Yeah.
We're nosy.
Okay. What's stopping you from going down there? You're a certified diver, from what I heard.
Too old. Lungs can't take it no more.
Oh, the woman I told you about, Erica Marie, she's 60.
Is she really?
Yeah.
She may want to think that.
It's 38 feet deep average.
Bro, 60?
That's younger than you.
I know, but not by much.
I would want to be 60 doing that still.
Didn't you say that about radio, too?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.